Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen season 2, episode 1, and you want to see it, we're very different people. But don't listen to this podcast just yet. Because
The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Oh, did I not say The Mandalorian?
But it's all right.
No, we'll start again.
I've seen the little title.
Should I start again?
Nah.
All right, cool. It's called The Mandalorian, and enjoy the pod.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg is gonna fuck to this chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where two people didn't look up how many films John Leguizamo did before they started the podcast. I'm one of those two people. My name is Zachary Thomas Rewayne. You might know me from being Star Trek on the Star Trek v Star Wars debate.
Okay.
I'm joined. That's pretty new. Mm-hmm. I was kind of half-half or neither nor. I'm joined, as always, by Bishop Chubb, who is team...
I've never cared less about joining teams in my life than that particular debate. I don't know either of them. I've watched more Star Wars purely because I've watched this episode of The Mandalorian now, but I'd previous to this never seen any, except the one with the small boy, the Star Wars with the small boy. When it was in the cinemas.
Number one.
Yeah, okay. But I don't remember it.
So your team Star Wars?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Okay. We are joined by our resident science fiction expert.
Dr. Carl.
Dr. Carl. No, we had him in for, what was it called again?
Titan AE.
Titan AE. According to Mish.
And he loved it.
He loved it. Mish, thinks that Titan AE, Sam, just so you know, or Sam Lingham, and just so you know, Mish thinks Titan AE is hard science fiction.
It is, yeah. It is though.
Yeah.
No.
What would you classify Titan AE?
A children's thing.
About a science fiction one though.
Yeah.
It's a science fiction. To me, that is the most science fiction-y you can possibly get.
Hard sci-fi is like a genre.
Name a hard sci-fi.
The Three Body Problem. It's a book.
Have you read it?
I guess Dune verges on hard sci-fi, but not really. It's when they really get stuck into
the science of
I got so mad at the world when Dune came out. I was so, because I was like, is this really going to be a thing? Because I didn't care. I've never watched the trailer. I'm not interested. The poster makes me want to kill myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, pretty full on. But no, I got so mad because I'm like, oh, this is going to start a thing. But luckily people stopped talking about it. But it was just such a thing. Have
There's
you seen
a part
Dune?
Two coming.
Oh, shut up. I'm just... Titan AE is as far as you can take me, unless Johnny Legs has been in other science fiction, and then I'll watch it like I did today.
So Sam Lingham is our guest today. Sam is the head writer and theatre director of Auntie Donna. He has also recently received Screen Australia funding to develop a script, a science fiction...
A treatment for a script.
Light. Treatment for a script. Science fiction light story. Sam loves science fiction. Yeah. He knows everything there is to know about science
fiction. When people say science fiction to me, I think of the Dune poster and Sam Lingham in the Dune poster.
For the record,
yeah.
We had Sam on for Titan AE. Mm. He, you know, watched it and talked about it and thus... I think largely you, Mish, have decided he is our sci-fi guy.
Of all my friends, he's my sci-fi guy.
Now, Mish, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
The thing you watched, the episode you watched, do you think that's sci-fi?
Yes.
Okay. See, I would argue that Star Wars is fantasy.
Okay. Isn't this interesting? So, I work at a bookshop, right?
Cool.
I just started working at this bookshop. It's very trendy, very cool. And I was sorting through the science fiction section and I got really excited and I was like, oh my God, because there were some like old weird books, like old 70s, 60s sci-fi, very porny, like very like erotica.
Like Treasure Planet.
Sure. That's like, no, but just like a lot of like naked aliens, huge tittied aliens and stuff. Mm-hmm, and I got really excited because I'm like, Sam's going to love this because like I know that Sam loves a book and he loves a sci-fi. So I sent him the pictures of all these books. It was like, oh my God, these look sick. You're going to love these. And he just wrote back and he's like, no, like, I'm not. No.
Have you done anything ever to indicate that you like kitschy, big titty sci-fi, Sam? What's this, Mish?
Well, I came on a podcast and talked about Titan A.E.
No, you read a lot of fantasy novels.
I do.
Yeah, he likes fantasy novels. And to me, fantasy and science fiction are the same.
They are both, what's the word? It's a word for it.
Difficult to understand?
No.
Although the line for me between fantasy and science fiction where they differ is when I can understand them. I can understand fantasy better than I can understand science fiction.
Really?
Sure.
Science fiction, 90% of the time, particularly when it comes to film and stuff, is just fantasy. It's a similar construct.
Okay.
Is that fair to say, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you do like science fiction. I wasn't wrong.
I love science fiction.
See?
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah.
I do. I think he said you like gaudy, big tit alien sci-fi.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Would you read it? If I got you one, they're only $5. They're secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
If I got you one, would you read a big titty 60s sci-fi alien porn?
I might. And it might be good because the thing with old books is the covers are all pretty atrocious.
Yeah.
Like across the board.
Oh, my God. They're so great. But like I wonder. No, I wonder because I know for a fact there are people that genuinely would get a wood for a big titted alien.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Mm, absolutely.
Whereas like titties are great. But as soon as you're like, oh, they're attached to an extraterrestrial, I'm like, well, there goes my wood. Because I don't get the wood for fake people.
Yeah, me too, Mish. I only like authentic people.
Yeah.
Mish, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
It's about science fiction. Do you really not get it?
Yeah.
Or is it like are you being, what's the difference? Is it ignorant versus
a cunt?
I'm not being a cunt. Like I'm not just sitting out here going, I'm going to be a cunt. Because
you're a smart person.
I am a smart person.
You're
sure.
I'm
of average intelligence.
But
I'm
you're
average
like, you're a cross shit. Like, you get it. I feel like we talk and you get it.
Yes.
But then you just don't get, as soon as it's like, I feel like.
Oh my God, I shut down completely.
Yeah, and that's what I think it is. I think you're like, oh, I think you choose not to get
no,
it.
No, I don't understand. So. Back to the Future is science fiction, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Right? So that I get.
Yeah.
It's explained well enough to me in that film to understand.
Mm.
What I don't like and what has stayed with me since the Titan AE episode is that I was like, it doesn't make sense what he's saying. And then Sam said, no, well, no, it doesn't, but you just go with it. I don't want to. I need to understand.
Yeah, a lot of the science fiction is weird stuff is happening and you don't understand the implications later on. But, I mean, that's done in fiction a lot as well, you know.
Yeah, but
that's like the reason why I say fantasy and science fiction are not that different, except for hard science fiction, for example, Titan AE. where like often the science fiction is similar to magic as a plot device. It's just... Imagine if you could do this. Imagine a society where this can happen. And you can either make the thing that can happen is orcs, or you can make the thing that can happen lasers.
I don't agree with you. But I will say, no.
What is there to not agree with?
Wrong. I will say, though, like, take Game of Thrones, right? That's fantasy.
Yes.
We can all agree that that's not science fiction.
Yes.
I like Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones is difficult to follow in a lot of ways because a lot of characters, a lot of shit's happening. I can follow Game of Thrones. Yeah. It's a stretch, but I can do it. And that's very complex. You give me a simple sci-fi excluding Back to the Future, and I don't know what happens, but I just don't understand.
But Back to the Future is not not the simplest sci-fi.
Well, no, all I need to know is, like, this is a time machine. They used this and they do this funny thing about gigawatts and you're like, haha, it's really funny because it's Christopher Lloyd saying it. And then they just tell a very good story in the past.
But then the part two, there's like, if we go back, it's a different past. You know, like if you go back in the past, the future that you come back.
That is easy to understand. Like, oh, if you kill this person in the past, they're no longer alive in the future. I can totally get on board with that. What I can't get on board with is why that planet's going to explode if you don't get 54,000 megawatties into the mainframe before dawn times 40. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. I'm trying.
Well, no, but that's my thing. What you said there doesn't make sense
to me.
No, you say that, Sam, but if that was in like a novel that you really like, some sci-fi novel, you'd be like, I get it. You're only saying it because I said it.
Do you like Fifth Element?
Yeah, love that film. It's one of my favorite films.
So there you go. What you don't like, Mish, is bad science fiction.
No, yeah. The Fifth Element's not difficult to understand.
Yeah, but
do you like The Fifth Element?
Yeah, I love The Fifth Element.
That's like in my top 10 all-time favourite films. That is a 10 out of 10
I think that's
film.
Like a fantasy / sci-fi, is it?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
No, well, not really. I mean, the genre is decided by the critics, not
I
want to
know
authors.
What Sam thinks of the difference between science and...
Yeah, please, Sam.
Generally, science fiction, I would argue, is generally like Back to the Future. It's like, what if we had time travel?
Yeah.
How would that affect the world that we live in? Basically.
Okay, yep.
Generally, it's that. It can be, how can it affect these people? Like, generally, there's, like, a question that it's asking, and it's often, like, based on a scientific idea.
Okay.
And then they're just sort of exploring that. So it's like, what if robots were real, or what if we had AI, or...
Yeah.
Like, generally, it's, like, good sci-fi is just, asking a question.
Okay.
And answering it.
And fantasy is make-believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a different world.
Yeah, what if... Yeah, and you just come up with some shit and you're like, what is that going to say? Like, all of it's metaphor. All of it's kind of like trying to... good stuff is all about how we interact with each other.
Okay.
Do you know my favourite thing about Dune?
Yeah.
Was that they say the year at the start of the film and they go... They sort of just say to you, this is very, very, very far in the future. So in the movie Dune, it's just like they're like... this, and I feel like that was a very deliberate thing... to be like, this isn't Star Wars. Star Wars is set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. This is our future. And I feel like that difference is the difference between fantasy and science fiction. Even though Dune and Star Wars are very similar because Star Wars is a little bit of a ripoff.
Of what?
Of Dune.
What? Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Dune's like a sand planet and there's like a boy who's the Messiah and there's big worms. Everyone.
Oh, see, already, as you were talking then, I just wanted to punch you.
But just...
but do you not understand the worms? Or do you not like the worms? This is my thing. I think you're saying, I don't understand, when what you mean is, I don't care for it, and thus didn't listen. And that's fine.
All right, that might be what it is. Maybe that is what it is.
Because you get The Matrix, don't you?
No, I don't. Don't start me on that. We all know I don't understand that film.
But no, you don't like that film. But you get it, don't you?
No, that movie does not make sense. It does not make sense.
Yeah, but its question is, what if robots took over and kept everyone alive and kept their minds occupied in the Matrix, and that's what we're living in?
Yeah, but keep their minds occupied in the Matrix. What is the Matrix? Why are they keeping their minds occupied there? It doesn't make sense. It's so complicated.
But you get it, though, don't you? You get what's happening. And as you watch the film, you're like, oh, they're like in a virtual reality attached to their brains, yeah.
No.
You get that that's happening, don't you?
No, I don't.
But
I'm not trying to be, cute and dumb.
No,
I'm
really,
I realise that you all probably think I'm adorable right now. But I just don't.
Oh, actually, yeah, nah.
No, but this is my question. It's like you don't get why they did. Yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a little bit weird. It's not a very efficient battery. I get all those, that like these are problems that you have with the film, but my question is, do you understand that they are in the Matrix?
I get that, but what I understand that they have left the real world and have gone into the Matrix.
Yeah.
But I can't differentiate which one was the real world or the Matrix. They went in between them all the time. Why can he bend like that in the real world if he's not in the Matrix?
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about the sequels here.
No, it's in the first film. All of a sudden, they shoot a gun at him, and he can be like, "Whoa!" And
that's in the Matrix.
That's just in the Matrix.
No, we're talking about the Matrix, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, she doesn't get it.
Well, so, we're not talking about the
so
Matrix.
So, Sydney,
when you said the real world,
yeah,
that's the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm talking about the movie, The Matrix. The real world in the movie, The Matrix.
Yeah. So, in the movie, The Matrix, the Matrix is Sydney.
Yep.
When they're in
the
Sydney,
The Matrix is Sydney.
Yes. When they're in Sydney,
that's
they're
the
in
real
the
world. Though, when he's in the office, he's in the real world.
No, that's the Matrix.
I'm so glad I dug into this.
That's the Matrix.
Because I thought you were being deliberately obtuse. But you really don't get the Matrix. And that's good.
I had a whole bit in my comedy festival show about how I don't understand it. Again, wasn't just being cute.
No.
Legitimately, I don't understand that film.
You don't.
Your colleague and our friend, Mark Bonanno, sat down with me once and tried to explain it to me for about an hour. And in the end, I messaged him. I was like, thank you so much. I get it now. That's been bothering me. And that was a lie.
Yeah,
I still don't understand.
That's fantastic. I love that you did that.
Yeah. I still don't understand. He just put so much effort in.
Yeah.
My head can't get around that film, man. I can't do it.
Is it because it's structured like a twist? If it just played out chronologically.
Yeah.
And the
why him? Why Neo?
Oh, mate,
why does Lawrence Fishburne
you don't know which one's the Matrix.
No, I didn't. I thought that Sydney was the. I thought the Matrix was the big white room with all the guns. Is that the Matrix? I don't want ambiguity like that. I need to know.
So the Matrix is a computer program. Yeah.
What?
When did you watch it?
About 4 times. Throughout in the last 20 years.
And you've properly sat down and properly watched it. You've sat down and you've watched it.
I get to like the last half an hour, I'm like, I'm done. Because
explain it in the first 40.
Yeah, I definitely watched the first 40 intensely.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to... Look, pick me apart, okay?
I'm not doing this to be mean. I think it's kind of...
I really want you to enjoy this movie, but that's where I'm coming from.
I don't enjoy it. I won't enjoy it. And I've never seen a sequel because what's the point? I don't understand.
No, don't worry about it.
No, the sequels
don't want
them. He starts bending things in the other place that he goes to with the ships and the jumpers with holes in them.
Oh, my God.
You know how he wakes up bald with the jumpers with holes in them?
But also, as you're talking, that the genre itself... It genuinely makes me a little bit mad. Like sometimes my partner's quite into sci-fi and fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly fantasy, but he does kind of like, he liked Dune, whatever. And he's tried to explain it to me and he gets about 30 seconds in and he's like, I just glaze over and he looks at me like, why am I even bothering with you?
Admittedly, your partner has told me what he does for work 4 times.
Yeah.
And I still don't really know.
Yeah, and same.
He gives me nice sour beers.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got really good taste in sour beers.
I want to explain The Matrix to you,
it's
but
fine.
Obviously it's not going to work.
If you want, we can do a little extra episode.
It makes me want a Patreon just to have a little bonus episode where we explain The Matrix.
The thing is, I feel like I'm one sentence away from explaining it and her going, I get it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
There's like a block happening. That's the thing that fascinates me because you are smarter than The Matrix. If you can get... Back to the Future 2.
I get that film.
The Matrix. Like, I don't think Back to the Future 2 is considerably less complicated than The Matrix.
I love that movie. I love Back to the Future.
It explains it easier, but I'm talking like you sit down and have a conversation. I feel like you could get The Matrix.
It's funny though, because like coming to think of it, like not a lot of films are a 10 out of 10. Like there aren't a lot for me that are a 10 out of 10. But 2 of them for me are sci-fi films. So that's
fantastic.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Titan A and?
Dune.
And The Matrix of Dune.
You can see how little I understand sci-fi even further as I read to you my blurb, if you'd like.
Yeah, well, again, you could argue that it's a fantasy, but that's a nerdy thing to say.
Whatever. Keep in mind, so I came into season 2, episode 1 of The Mandalorian,
chapter 9. If that's how you're engaging
what?
With the story.
What?
It's chapter 9 is
out
another way to... Out of however
what
many
book?
Chapters they end up.
I mean, what series? What are we talking about? Season 2.
Yeah, but they call it chapter 9.
Why?
Because the first...
Why? I hate...
That's got nothing to do with science fiction. It's just a choice they've made.
You know, Favreau's gone, what if episodes were called chapters?
And Favreau also wrote that Scarlett Johansson and Sofia Vergara would love him in a film.
Yeah.
So I don't trust that man.
He's been writing fantasies and chef.
Fucking throw it down.
Imagine a world where Sofia Vergara and Scarlett Johansson want me.
When I watched that film, I didn't realise. The first time I watched it, I didn't realise. This is Chef. We should talk about this in Chef. But I didn't realise that it's such a good film. I didn't realise that Jon Favreau wrote and directed it. I just watched the film and I was just like, that's so unrealistic. And I think it was my mum that was like, oh, he wrote and directed. I'm like, of course he did. I would look, if I wrote and directed something and I could write my love interest, I'd make it Idris Elba.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Why not?
Because you can.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anyway, I went into this chapter 9, season 2, episode 1 of The Mandalorian with zero knowledge of Star Wars. Of course I've heard of Princess Leia. Of course I've heard of Stormtroopers. Luke, I am your father. I've heard all of those.
Spoiler alert.
But I genuinely don't know anything about Star Wars. I don't know why they're in the sky. I don't know anything about it. So I went into this blind.
Why they're in the sky, I like a lot. It's like, because that is kind of assumed that it's like, why are they in the sky?
Yeah. Anyway, so this is my blurb based. I want you all to know that. Yeah. And again, I'm not being cute. I was just like, well, this is my take on what happened.
I think you're being a little cute and that's fine.
Well, that's just natural. I can't help that.
Hit it.
Okay. The episode opens with RoboCop and Baby Yoda traveling through a space desert. They arrive at a town in the space desert with an underground club that is currently holding a large pig boxing match with axes. They attend this boxing match with a Cyclops voiced by John Leguizamo. It is at this pig match that I discover RoboCop's name is the Mandalorian. And I also discover that he is searching for the Mandalorian. He tortures the Cyclops, Johnny Legs, for information on where he can find the Mandalorian, which is also himself. And John Leguizamo reveals the location of the Mandalorian. RoboCop kills Johnny Legs with darkness and insects, I think. After a quick stopover at Amy Sedaris's place, they arrive at a space desert pub where they are greeted by a guy pretending to be the Mandalorian, but when RoboCop discovers that he's lying, he tells the liar that he's going to kill him. Fake Mandalorian has luck on his side, though, because a giant sand shark dragon arrives, and instead of killing each other, they decide to be mates. They recruit some sand desert natives dressed as Hessian S&M garb to help them. They all end up killing the sand shark with guns and glow sticks, and RoboCop and the little baby cunt ride off on their next location.
Yeah, it's pretty much right on.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, great, cool.
See, Star Wars is that's why they say it's fantasy more than that, because it's not really set in the future. It's just set in another world, really.
Okay, so if that's what I got from it and that was correct, I would say that this is more fantasy. Because if it was sci-fi, you would have been like, that's way off. What about the mainframe?
No.
I think you just don't like a type of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because you liked, which ones do you like?
I like The Fifth Element. It's one of my favourite movies of all time.
Which is sci-fi.
Yeah. I like Back to the Future.
Which is sci-fi.
Name some sci-fis.
Have you seen Arrival?
No.
That's really good.
It's a great movie, Arrival.
Although, Sam has been asking me to see that movie for so long.
I don't know if you'd like. I think you might get mad at it, but it's very beautiful. It's a really beautiful film.
There's this fun game that everyone else can join me in playing. So whenever Mish does an AMA on Instagram asking any sort of question, you can reply with "Watch Arrival." And I would encourage you to all join.
You should watch Arrival. I did it's one of my favorite movies, and it's a sci-fi.
I did one of those. I did one of those. Anonymous asked me anonymous questions on Instagram thing because I was just like, I was a bit curious. To see if I have any fucked cunts that follow me. And all it was Sam telling me to watch The Arrival and my mum asking me what I was doing.
That's good.
Oh, and one guy who asked me to sit on him.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's all right. Thanks for the 150. Much appreciated.
That was pretty on the money. I don't know if either of... Are you a Star Wars fan in particular?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah, no.
Have you seen them all?
Oh, the movies, yeah. But I haven't done like the anime or the novels or anything like that.
The novels?
Yeah.
Were they books first?
No.
What? Unless then don't read the novels.
Yeah, I know.
What's the point?
I think that's... I think for people who like Star Wars, the most interesting storytelling probably happens in the novels.
Mm.
Really? Do you own any figurines?
No.
Okay. You're not a real fan.
No, I don't. Star Wars is fine.
Okay.
Like 3 stars across the board.
Oh, really? It's a 3-star kind of franchise.
Like, it's a really interesting world. I love the Force and the religion thing. That's really cool. But that's everything else is kind of like, yeah, whatever.
It's not in this one, really.
There's no Force in this one, right?
No.
Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny?
The little baby cunt is a Force.
That's Baby Yoda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Well, I know that because when Mandalorian came out, Baby Yoda was fucking everywhere. He was the minion of 2020.
It's very cute. It's a cute little
baby. He's fine. I've never liked the overly cute animated characters or like little... I've never liked in Disney films like the overly cute characters. I don't like those ones.
Do you like E.T.? E.T.'s a little bit gross.
Yeah, E.T.'s fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, E.T.'s fine.
What if Baby Yoda had big tits?
Yeah, good. That's hot, though. That give me wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel similarly about Star Wars. I really like the very first one and the second one, and I quite liked the ones when I was a kid that were coming out, but, you know.
I guess if your introduction to Star Wars is Jar Jar Binks, you're not going to like it. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I never got into it.
Because
that was the first one I saw. I saw it in the cinemas and I just remember thinking like, I'm not really into this. And then it comes out that movie sucked ass. And I was like, well, I have nothing to compare it to. And everyone's like, sit down and watch this ones from the 70s. And it's like, really?
I also just find it weird.
No, they're fun.
Yeah, they're good. They're worth seeing if you like out of interest because they're very seminal films, you know.
Similar to like how you'd watch Indiana Jones or something.
I like Indiana Jones. That's not sci-fi.
Just like, you just chuck on a fun movie to have on.
So Indiana Jones would just be fiction, right? That's not fantasy.
It's adventure.
Yeah, adventure. Adventures are fun.
But they're both, there is a bit of sci-fi, is it?
A bit of magic. Fantasy element.
Magic, yeah.
Is magic sci-fi? Is Harry Potter sci-fi?
No, that's fantasy. But again, these are all definitions, you know? It's all kind of... Doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah.
Not really.
It's all kind of, we just...
What about Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What's that?
Like a cartoon live action hybrid?
It depends how they got the...
Maybe it's got a bit of noir.
That's a 10 out of 10 film for me. Yeah.
How did the cartoon get onto the frame? You know, if it was put there by magic, then that would be fantasy.
No, it's just life.
It's just life.
That's a bit of fantasy. It's a bit of a fantasy. It imagines a world where animation isn't a
thing hanging out that's with Bob done. Hoskins. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not a group of men in trousers drawing lots of pictures. It's they're real.
So, by your definition of sci-fi, then, Sam's. If we go back a little bit, when Sam said sci-fi is just answering a question, then magic wouldn't be in sci-fi unless the question was, does magic exists.
See, sometimes magic is, but it's often like an ancient civilization made this, so there's a scientific explanation, we're just not given it. Does that make sense?
You know,
okay, so in like Miracle on 34th Street, where there's actually a Santa, that's like an ancient civilization created him.
Did they? I haven't seen it.
It's a make-believe one, but yes.
There's this great line.
Well, no, it's not in the film that they like. I'm just saying that Santa would have been constructed from like a fake place.
I mean, unless they go to the effort to explain to you in the piece that Santa was created by smart people using science.
Cyborgs.
Or aliens or unknown species. Like, unless they go to that effort, then it's magic.
What's a cyborg?
What? It's a like a human with robot bits in them.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. I'm on board with that. There's an episode of Buffy with a cyborg.
Is there?
Yeah.
Amazing. There's a thing in Star Trek, Nish. There's a great episode of Star Trek where there's this. So the Prime Directive says you can't. You know the Prime Directive, Sam?
Oh, I can't remember it.
You can't interfere with a pre-warp civilization. Yeah. If they don't know warp speed yet, you've got to kind of let them develop at their own rate.
Mm.
There's this episode where they accidentally see a lab and there's a whole bit of
hoopla. I've already stopped. There's a perfect example.
So this is the issue.
Yeah, that's the issue.
If you don't understand, it's different to you not listening.
I just stopped listening. I honestly, can you start again?
Those are two different things.
I honestly stopped listening because I was just like, I'm not going to understand.
But the point is basically there's this culture and they see the Star Trek people and they're like, oh, these are gods. They think Jean-Luc Picard is a god. And, you know, if you've seen some of Patrick Stewart's acting in Family, the follow-up to the one about the Borg, gee whiz, you'd think he's a god too. What an actor.
All right.
No, they all think Jean-Luc Picard is a god. So, and then they're tossing up. How do they explain to these people that they're not, like, how do they convince them? And it keeps digging and digging. And in the end, they just teleport one of them. This almost medieval type person. They teleport them onto the ship, and he explains to her that to any civilization, he does this little speech where he's like, imagine if you went back to like the Neanderthal version of your culture. He's like, imagine if you go back and you showed them an arrow or a knife or a hut, you know, they're living in caves. Imagine if you showed them your tools. And he was like, that would look like magic to you, wouldn't it? And she's like, yeah, I suppose so. And he's like, the fact that I live in the sky, I know it looks like magic, okay. But he's like, but this is technology. This is, you know, and there's something interesting in that like science, the line between magic and science is very, very fine.
Well, if time travel exists, yes. Did I get that wrong?
Well, I get, yeah.
You just said if you could go back and see people with huts and they're living in caves.
But like, I meant more just like more of a metaphor. If someone's technology is so advanced, it would look like magic. You know what I'm saying?
Are there a lot of metaphors in science fiction?
It is all metaphors.
Okay, that's probably why then. Maybe I didn't know that.
So Sydney is the Matrix.
Okay.
I want to explain the Matrix to Mish. I feel like I know that that's not the point of this podcast.
It's really not.
But I feel like we could get there.
I really don't need it, though.
That's fine.
Do you know what I think the issue is, right?
Could you make me like it?
No.
Couldn't make you like it. What happened with the Matrix, right, is there's a twist half an hour in, right?
Mm.
There's a twist, and that's the bit that you don't engage with. Is that fair to say that's what's confusing Mish about the Matrix?
So he thinks the real world is the one that looks like our real world, and in the Matrix it's the opposite.
Because they play...
So the big eggs full of gooey stuff is the real world.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to...
So that's this world that we're in, but way in the future.
So let go of the film. Let go of the order of the film as you watch it,
so
right?
If we were in the Matrix right now, the film, if we were in the movie The Matrix, we would currently, sitting here at this podcast studio, be in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Because if we had the big plugs in the back of our necks... and we slept in eggs, we would be in the real world.
Yeah.
So let me just let go of the film.
Why are you
don't
mad?
Don't think, Mish. Don't.
It's dumb.
Yeah, that's fair. But don't think about the movie you watched. Don't think about that movie. That's where you're coming undone. Just imagine that we make robots, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine I come to you and I say, Mish, good news. Sam made a robot.
Yep.
Well, and
you
now
you can fuck it if you want.
You can fuck that robot if you want.
Is it hot? Can you make it look like Idris Elba?
No. Unfortunately not.
Why would I want to fuck it then?
Well, you don't have to. But here's the problem. The robot.
Wait, is that relevant?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Sam's just adding that for a little bit of fun.
He's speaking Mish.
Sam's speaking Mish. He's keeping you interested.
Can every once in a while, Sam, can you just tell me the things I can fuck in this story?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So Sam's invented a robot, right?
Yep.
Or he's invented like artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And then all the robots, the robot can build another robot. It's so smart.
Fuck that robot.
Okay.
And you could fuck that robot if you wanted to.
The robots are building robots now.
Yeah, there's like lots and lots of robots.
Okay.
Right? Like we have computers and stuff. Like anyway, there's lots of robots.
Yep.
Are we across
this?
So
did we build the robots to build robots? That was the purpose of the robots?
I think I've...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They're so smart. They're as smart as us now.
But the purpose of us building them was to build other robots.
Yeah, we wanted robots, and then we're like, why would we build robots ourselves when we can get robots to build
robots? But why did we want robots in the first place?
Maybe the robot helps you to fix your car.
Okay, so, okay, I understand. So we could own them and have them around our house.
Yeah.
They can do everything for us.
Oh, that's so like Bicentennial Man.
Maybe the robot, Mish, is a little speaker you in your house.
I can fuck Bicentennial
Man. You can fuck Bicentennial Man.
Is that what you're kind of talking about, like those kind of robots? Like
maybe the robot is a speaker in your house, and you say to it, hey, Google, I want to watch blah, 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 or I want to listen to this song, and it plays it for you. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Mish?
Yes,
maybe
it
we're
does.
Not so far as we thought.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so now there's lots of robots.
Yeah, I'm having so much sex.
Yeah, you can fuck the robots if you want.
Okay,
it's irrelevant, but you can.
Yep, cool.
Are we on the right track here, Sam?
Yes.
There's lots and lots of robots, but uh-oh, the robots and us don't get along anymore.
We've been fucking them too much.
Why did we program them to not like us?
We program them to be able to learn themselves, to build other robots, to think
for
themselves.
Well, egg on our face, that's dumb.
Well, that's what...
You're onto something.
Yeah, it is a little dumb. And aside, it is what we are potentially doing right now
Matrix?
As a society. Yes, it is. But just let go of the Matrix.
Who were the robots?
Mish.
Lawrence? Was Lawrence a robot?
Let go of the Matrix. We'll get to the Matrix. You'll find yourself at the Matrix in time.
Okay.
Okay.
Who was the mate? Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Was the guy who can bend his back and stuff, was he a robot?
Mish, we'll get there. And okay. No. So, no, none of the ones all the robots in the movie were robots. Okay, so... So where do we go to from here, Sam?
You can help me here. And then what happens is we start getting along. We start having big fights. We start having battles with the robots.
We're fighting the robots.
Yeah, there's human versus robot fights, basically.
Wars.
There's wars.
You know wars?
I know wars.
And now the robots are all solar.
I've seen Dunkirk.
There's a line to this, but the robots are all solar powered. So what the humans do is they...
Oh, wait, let's just make sure she's on board with...
I know what solar power is.
But they're solar-powered robots.
I know what a solar...
And you understand we're fighting the robots?
You're being incredibly condescending.
If you get the Matrix, I'm happy to lose you as a friend if you get the Matrix.
I understand what solar power is.
And you understand
my
mum
has the panels on her roof.
So they're solar powered.
Yeah.
And what the humans are like, well, fuck, if they're solar powered, let's just fucking fuck the atmosphere up.
Put clouds in the sky.
Is this real?
Sky.
This happened in the Matrix?
Yes. Yep.
Yep. So this happened, and then they put clouds in the sky, and they're like, okay, fuck, you can't...
Are you taking the piss? I don't remember this at all.
This is a scene in the Matrix where he sits down and he explains
this.
Very similar to us.
They're like, we blotted out the sun. It's like, they did that to fuck over the robots. And then the robots are like, well, we need energy now.
So you understand that they've created clouds.
And then now the robots, because they're smart now, are like, we're going to die. We need to... figure out what we're
going to
do about
how
this.
Are we going to well and what do?
They enslave all the human population and put them in these pods.
So they won
the war.
They win the war.
But how did the humans block out the sun if they'd lost?
We hadn't lost at that point. At that point.
So when we cut off their power supply, they beat us still.
So what we did is we blocked out. We'll get to it's okay. Just step at a time. So we've blocked, and I'm sorry I'm being condescending.
It's fine.
It's kind of funny. I think it's for the pod.
It's not. It's not for the pot.
So we've blocked out the sun, all right?
Yep.
But maybe they've got a little bit of battery power. And in that time with the reserves or while the sun...
This is where you start to lose me. That's not possible. We've cut off their power supply.
I think they're already losing. Like, humanity's not doing this.
So with our last breath, we block out the sun?
Well, like, this will fuck them, yeah.
So maybe, Mish, maybe it takes a couple of years to block the sun. Maybe we're changing the environment with machines or whatever. We're creating these clouds. It takes a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So the machines have a few years before the sun's completely gone. And
okay.
we think we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do in that time is they develop the technology to extract energy from human beings.
How?
They put them in goo.
They put them in...
Oh, the eggs!
Cum eggs.
Okay, so they're taking our energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that actually...
Should we have an endless energy supply or are they all just
going to kill us? Actually, this part doesn't make a lot of sense. You have to do a leap of logic
here. So, So do I have an endless supply of energy to fuel these?
Think of your pumping heart, the electrodes in your brain.
Yeah, but if that's being sucked out of me, will I not die?
Well, no, they're drawing it out of you because you're not moving. All the stuff you'd be doing in day-to-day life, they're sucking out of you. Is that fair? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like Glory does in Buffy.
I don't know.
Do either of you watch Buffy?
I watched the first couple of seasons.
Okay. All right, I'm kind of on board, but you're losing me. But
so they're in the egg.
This is the weakest bit of the whole thing. Okay. Yeah, it just this, basically like...
Because what the questions I'm asking are perfectly reasonable when we're in, questions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, when we're in goo, we're a battery for the robots.
Only when we're in the goo?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can we not just get out of them?
Well, the way they make sure that we stay in the goo is they feed, they pump into us more or less virtual reality... So we think we're living a normal life. In order to keep us going, to keep our brains going, they're pumping like a fake life into our brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're all just like pretending.
Are we all like sleeping?
Yeah, like...
Are we sleeping in these eggs like they've created a dream world?
Yeah. Yeah, and quite legitimately, this is technology that is being developed right now. So you know virtual reality, yeah?
Yes.
Where you have the screens.
Yes, I've played before.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's instead of putting a screen in front of your eyes, they're putting a thing right into your brain. So instead of putting a screen in front of your eyes, they're feeding a thing right into your brain to make you think you're seeing the things, make you think.
Has there ever been a glitch, like where someone would wake up like out of nowhere because the thing stopped working?
Well, there could be, yeah.
But if that happened, then. When they went back to the dream world, would they not remember waking up in an egg full of goo?
I think they would, Mish. And I think what they would want to do then, Mish, is they would want to maybe fight the robots.
Or just be like, what's the point and live in your happy dream world?
Well, some people do want to do that.
100%.
Yeah. The guy that eats the steak wants to do that, Mish.
Just go back to
the dream world, Mish. At the start, they first did a really idealized dream world.
Yeah.
Right? So they did something really perfect, like Sydney. Garden of Eden. Sydney. No, before
Was
Sydney.
This Sydney? Oh, yeah.
Before Sydney, they did a perfect, they were like, let's make the humans happy. We've turned them into batteries.
Oh, that's nice.
So they told us we're in the Garden of Eden, perfect life, yeah. Happy, happy, happy. But typical humans, we fucked it up. We just fought each other. We got bored. We were terrible. So they said, you know what?
Now you get Sydney.
Now you get turn of the century Sydney.
Olympic Games Sydney.
You get turn of the century Sydney and everyone's doing weird fake American accents with that tinge of green that everyone loved to do in the early 2000s. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes, but I'm starting to think it's stupid, but yes.
You can think it's stupid. Yep. I'm not telling you you're going to like it. I'm just telling you you're going to get it.
Everything you have told me. I have no knowledge of from the film.
Oh, everything we've said is in the film, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a bit where he sits him down in the white room and he says all of this.
Is this before he offers the pill?
After.
Well, that's some other bullshit. Why would you not explain all of this to somebody before offering them the pill?
Well, this is all the issues that Cypher had. That's why he had a stake and killed everyone. Oh, no, I've jumped ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I remember Cypher. He's the... Who's the actor that played Cypher?
The guy from all the stuff.
Yeah, all the shit. He's a Johnny Legs-esque, but not quite the same level.
Yeah, he's got a bit of Johnny Legs. There's a Johnny. He's in Memento.
He's worth about two Leguistamos.
Yeah, film he's in
is a two Leguistamos.
I think one and a half.
One and a half Leguistamos. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. See, now you're speaking my language. All right, I'm on board. I understand.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is. How did Lawrence Fishburne and Trinity wake up from the eggs? Why are they out and about?
Some of this is for the sequel. Some of this is for the sequel, and it gets a little complicated.
But like they wake Neo up. They wake
Why him?
Because he's been searching on the internet for answers because he's been going, oh, this world feels weird to me.
And there's been rumors, you know.
There's stuff online and he's been chasing that down and they think he's ready
Oh, so he's just a Reddit kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's just a random kid from Reddit.
More 4chan than Reddit.
Okay.
Even a little
he's
earlier
He's a
than
random
4chan
kid. And they're not like special.
He is.
What the fuck? You can't look at each other and go, no. That's why it's complicated for me.
There's a whole... Christ metaphor running through the whole thing as
like
well.
A religious thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're redoing like Morpheus is John the Baptist and Neo is Jesus Christ.
But we're talking themes there, not like what the plot is. The plot is everything we've said. It's in the future. And then they play it like a twist. So the reason why it's confusing for you is when we start, we're inside the Matrix and they reveal it over the first 40 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not most movies would start it with like, in the future, we are eggs. We are cum egg batches.
Yeah, and there's these cool people who are trying to save humanity by getting them out.
That's how most movies would start it. But what was interesting about that film is they did the same plot as Dark City.
What?
Doesn't matter.
Don't worry.
Okay.
But Dark City's
now,
good.
Now, the reason that they did it in the reverse order is because it's a metaphor. So it's like, have you ever grown up in a world and been told this is the real world and everything as it should be, but it's not?
Like growing up in a church family.
Well, when you look at the Wachowski sisters.
Yep.
Mm. So they've said it's a trans allegory.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So you're like, you're told your whole life that you're this way, but it's not this way. It's a lie. Have you ever just felt something is wrong?
Yep. Okay.
And they're like, how can we show that in a science way? Like a science.
So Neo. Okay. Yep. All right.
There's also an element of the whole film where if
so
they
Neo's pretty woke.
Yeah. Neo's pretty woke. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
For a 4chan boy.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So, but then why? Okay.
Are you that, like? Do you broadly
that I understand? Yeah. No, I'm on board.
That's
hear what
good.
You're
I
saying.
Think you do because I just.
But there's so many questions now about the film that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like scenes that happen, which I'm sure you'd be able to explain.
Yeah,
to me,
we
but
could.
Now I
yeah.
understand the. I understand for the first time in my life.
Yeah, but you said that about Mark. You said that to Mark.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not lying to you two. I lied to Mark.
Do you know what part of it is, Mish? Do you know what I think the other part of it is? I think if they had started by saying this is a movie set in the future where everyone has like brain, like everyone has virtual reality plugged into their brain, if they'd started the films that way, a lot of people would have gone, well, I don't like science fiction, no thank you. So the reason why it's such a popular film, I think, is because they trick people for the first half hour. They
didn't
say,
trick me. I knew. Yeah, I saw 5 minutes of that, but this is some of that sci-fi shit.
God, this is funny. This would be a funny podcast. Just what? Making you watch sci-fi shit and just me getting mad at you.
Oh, for God's sake. Are we going to talk about The Mandalorian at all?
What do we need to talk about The Mandalorian? What do we need to say?
I don't know.
Johnny was good.
Oh, great. Yeah, I do want to. We should probably touch on Johnny Legs slightly in this podcast. Otherwise, it's just a Explain the Matrix to Mish podcast.
Yeah, but that's fun.
That's fun.
I think people would have enjoyed that.
I feel like the character brief is, so this guy has one eye and looks weird, so let's just make him a bit normal with his voice.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I think it was that he didn't go too silly of a voice.
I have a feeling that him and Jon Favreau are mates.
Yeah.
Like, they've worked together a bunch. And because he wasn't, like, he was a little cute tidbit when the series was released, and everyone was like, oh my god, was that John Leguizamo? And he's like, and he posted some Instagram pictures like, it me, and stuff like that. I was like, surprise. I have a feeling that John Favreau like pretty much just called in a favor almost, went, you want to be in this?
Favreau,
you want to be in some Star Wars? And I Johnny Legs, who never says no, said yes.
He said yeah, sure. I haven't watched a lot of The Mandalorian, but here's what I love about John Favreau. I think he did the same thing with Lion King. I think sometimes he'll just go, eh. Like, I think that they were like, do you want to make a Star Wars TV show? And he was like, I really want to, there's a special kind of technology they film it. They film it on a really interesting set. And I reckon he was like, I would love to play around with this technology. If you let me make it this way, I'll do it.
Mm.
And then I reckon he was like, also, I just want to cast cool, interesting people. The cast of Mandalorian is great.
It's great. That was fun. Watching the people pop up and then reading who was in the cast is fun.
Yeah.
The best thing I think it does is it's really simple stories and all the characters keep coming back. They'd be like, oh, that was just a rogue bounty hunter we met that way. And then he'll just rock up on another episode. He's back again.
That's nice.
It's like a very nice show in that way.
Yeah. Sidaris was a nice little.
Yeah.
That was
and
a bit of fun.
There's heaps of them in it.
Yeah.
Like Bill.
I have one question though.
Hmm.
Baby Yoda. Adult Yoda in the 70s film. That's Baby Yoda.
No, it's a baby of the same species.
Oh, is that a species?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so the Mandalorian, he is the Mandalorian. He's searching for the Mandalorian. Are there like two of him?
So Mandalorians are like a group of people from a planet and they're like a religious sort of, their whole arm thing is like a religious thing that they believe in. So it's, you know.
Okay.
It's both like a, what is it, a culture and a religion.
Okay.
Is the Mandalorian.
But he is
but
a
it's
Mandalorian.
Called the Mandalorian.
And he is the Mandalorian in this, but he's just a Mandalorian, yeah.
All right, cool.
So, yeah.
And
yeah.
Boba Fett is a Mandalorian.
Mm. He was the original
I don't know who Boba Fett is, but I remember that. I remember people saying stuff about Boba Fett in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is why Star Wars frustrates me, is because they reverse engineer everything. They're just like, he's Boba Fett, he can fly around. And they're like, actually, he's from a religious cult who never take off their hats. And you're like, all right, I'm like, what? What does that mean? Like, it never means anything. They sort of just extrapolate later.
I've never been one, Sam. I'm curious because you're our resident sci-fi guy.
You're the expert.
You're our expert sci-fi guy. But Sam, I'm curious to know, because something I struggle with, right, is when a fan culture gets bigger than just like appreciating it for the fake thing that it is.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I like Harry Potter, I like Star Wars, I like Star Trek, I like all those things, but like, when it gets like, oh, this is how it works and this is what they do and this is the culture, it's like, no, like really, I mean, Boba Fett was a great art designer, made a cool costume.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole of Star Wars.
That's what happened.
And then they're like, oh, here's how all the ships fly. And like, the ships...
They don't fly. And if you know how they fly, make a ship fly.
Mm. And they're like, this is how lightsabers work. You have to get a special rock from a planet. I'm like, that's just a magic rock.
It just is magic.
You got a magic stick.
The way they work is that George Lucas made it up, and then they did some special effects. That's just something I find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that you just said, then I felt the frustration. Same. I feel the same way.
Do you know what I find interesting is like Harry Potter. Like Harry Potter was the series we saw. You know, like we. When I was born, Star Wars, Star Trek had the fan culture. Yeah. We saw Harry Potter go from some books to like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Slytherin, I'm a this. And it's fascinating to see it. It's funny to think that some people watched Star Trek before it was like a whole thing. They were just like, yeah, this is cool. Some people watched Star Wars and are like, fun movie, cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then someone else was like, fun movie, now it is mine.
I own this. I love watching Johnny Legs do, or listening to Johnny Legs do voice work, and I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the Mandalorian chapter 9?
What the fuck?
I enjoyed it. I will say this: I went into it very skeptical. I was like, "This is not going to be good." Like, I was like, "I'm not going to enjoy this. This is going to be a horrible." I was like, "Oh God, it's going to go for an hour," and my partner's like, "It's 35 minutes." I'm like, "That's sick."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
But it was frustrating for me to watch, and we've touched on why.
Can I ask you guys, how are you doing with this? Because there are movies that have John Leguizamo in them, and that's fun to talk about. Mm. And then you have commercials, and you're like, it's funny to talk about the fact he's in a commercial.
Mm.
This is just a very bland part. Like, it's fine.
What, this TV show?
Like, John Leguizamo's part, very run-of-the-mill. He's in there for 2 minutes. He's talking in
America. Oh, we've done many of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done
so. I feel like this is the most uninteresting thing to talk about.
That's why it ended up being you guys lecturing me on the Matrix.
Yeah, and that's what we do. Yeah. I mean, it's a loose framework. Yeah.
They're coming
for the mission, the Zach.
We had Jude Pearl in last year. And we had Jude watch a Spanish commercial on getting medication for your parents.
But that's funny to me because it's like, can't you believe we're like reviewing a commercial? And this is just like, oh, we're just doing like 2 minutes of...
Oh, dude, the movie we did either last week or the week before called The Experimenter was a whole fucking 2-hour film and he was in 90 seconds of it. And at the start.
Yeah.
That was fucking frustrating.
Sam, a 35-minute
episode I can get through. That's fine.
If to a degree, it's weird that he's not in the movies heaps. But that's why I'm like, we don't need to talk about him. That's why I was like, we don't need to talk about him. We'll talk about The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
That's got enough of a Leguizamo score. But I will say, I'm glad we chose an actor and an actor who... If it's an actor that's always the lead. If it's a Leonardo,
Meryl Streep,
right? Meryl Streep. I would get more bored doing a Meryl Streep podcast because she's always the lead.
Yes,
she's always it's her taste. She's now really deciding.
And also, all the movies she's done, we've all seen. Everyone else has seen. You've had those conversations with people about. I've never had a conversation with someone about season 2, episode 1, chapter 9, The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I got to. And that's beautiful, man.
It's so beautiful.
Because I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, if we had chosen a director, right, that would get samey. Because you'd start seeing the same things. Yeah. This is a podcast about three things. One is John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
That's the main thing it's about. Yeah. Two is about all of the actors that of his ilk. This is our
Swan. It's an ode to the character actor in Hollywood.
It's an ode to the third build.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it really is just he has touched every part of popular filmmaking in the last 30 years. That's what this is. This is just like, if you want to know what if you want to get a broad sweep of everything that has kind of like all the kind of genres that have happened. He's done one of everything.
And it's also like we've gotten to watch so much stuff that's really cool that I would never have watched. And like without the pod, I was watching, like, I would honestly just be watching shitty reality television at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Because it's all my brain can take. But then this pod forces me to watch sci-fi.
I've rediscovered my love of film because of this podcast.
Oh,
this
my
podcast
God, that's so beautiful.
It truly was. There was a moment when
Does that answer your question?
I mean, I've got egg on my face. I was like, that's boring. I'm just like, this is the most profound thing in the world. I didn't realize.
It truly has been like...
I thought it was here just to talk and shit.
The issue is then trying to talk shit.
Yeah.
The issue is then you go... I hit a moment when I watched Land of the Dead where I was like, fuck. I rediscovered horror. And then 3 weeks later, I've just got to be like try and be funny about like that one he did with that guy about the fucking
yeah.
Also, it's great as well because there's a lot of movies that are fine.
Yeah,
and you don't watch the fine ones.
Yeah, middling 90s like rom-coms.
Yeah,
that I would never have watched, completely bypassed me in my life.
Yeah, maybe did a couple of film festivals. Mm,
and now they've popped up. And some rare gems, Land of the Dead, The Take. We get a few of them. Remember? I might have never seen Encanto.
Yeah.
And
Encanto? You would have watched Encanto.
It might have been one of those ones like, I mean to watch that. I should be watching that. Like so many animated films of yesteryear.
I haven't watched The Good Dinosaur, you know?
Yeah. What?
I haven't watched the.
Good I've never seen. How
I don't
to
think
Train
anyone's
Dragon.
Watched the Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, the first one's great.
You love fantasy.
Yeah.
Dragons.
Yes.
It's fantasy.
Okay. It is fantasy, mate. Yeah.
Cool.
It is. But yeah, no. That's in answer to your question, Sam. This has been one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. Just sometimes I get sick of riffing for an hour about it. How many Leguistamos do you guys give Mandalorian Chapter 9? You know the Leguistamo system, Sam.
It's all about how Leguizamo it is. I'll go first.
Always go first. I feel bad for you.
Well, I don't
you
want
always
Sam
go,
to go first.
I can go first.
Okay.
I give it 3 Leguistamos.
That's what I was going to give it. Now
I don't think anything made by John by yeah, it's 3 Leguistamos.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 3 as well.
Amy Sedaris really helps get it up from a 2.5.
Oh, it gets like 4.5 Amy Stardarises.
Wait. How many Stardarises are there in a Leguistamo?
She just helps
no,
it,
she
you
just
know?
Helps. I'm saying that if we were doing an Amy Stardaris Rama podcast, it would be Sedaris Ramas, I don't know, podcast. Then I would be giving this 4.5 Amy Stardarises. Yeah, right.
But I think the fact that
Amy Stardaris or Amy Sedaris, she is not a Leguizamo rating. She's an independent woman.
But I think that she helps the Leguizamo rating.
Yeah, sure, yes.
Like the idea that Jon Favreau's doing a movie on a set and he's like, hey, Johnny Legs, come do a bit. Hey, Amy Sedaris, come. That's a real John Leguizamo thing to do.
And you might be like, wait, 3, that's quite high. One of the reasons I've gone from 2 to 3 is because his involvement in this episode, how he leaves this episode, is so Leguizamo to just kind of do and then die. It's very Leguizamo.
Can I bump my rating up?
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to give it 5. No, I'm going to give it 3.5 Leguizamos, and I'll tell you why. Because he didn't audition. This was an offer.
Oh, 100%.
Favreau called him up and said, you want to do a voice for my Star Wars show? So it gets an extra half because he didn't have to. It was fully offer.
All right, I'm giving it 3. How about you?
I mean, I don't know. I was thinking 1, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's it's the part requires nothing of the actor almost.
Just for the record, Speed gets two.
Yeah.
Two Leguistamos.
I can't remember him in that movie.
He's not in that movie. So just before you give it one Leguistamo.
We've recently discovered Dunstan Checks In. You know that movie? That's
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
He's not in it.
I'd say it's one and a half. But just so you know, there are movies that John Leguizamo are not in that have two. Well, Speed is... Yeah. Was Speed the winner?
Speed won.
Yeah. So Speed is the when most Leguizamo-y movie.
Just the other week. Speed 1, the most Leguizamo-y film that does not star John Leguizamo.
And it got a whopping two Leguizamos, which is pretty impressive. But just think about that. Before you give something one Leguizamo, yeah, exactly. You can.
I just think his job here is to not be John Leguizamo in this movie. Mm. I think that's his acting role. It's just to be bland man. You know, and he's such a good character actor. He's being asked to not be a character.
But I think that he's not in the suit, is he?
No.
My partner also revealed to me that RoboCop, the lead...
RoboCop? Are you talking... RoboCop fact here?
Sorry, The Mandalorian.
RoboCop is a movie.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
The dude who's walking around in the Mandalorian getup is not actually the voice actor. It's a different guy.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's
Pedro
not.
Pascal
Pedro
played
Pascal.
Him.
Voiced him. It's
no,
not in the
he,
suit.
Yeah, he
no, I swear to God. That's what my partner told me, and I might be wrong, but I swear to God it's not him.
Nah, he's in it.
He's in it.
No, I don't think so.
He takes off his hat at one point.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe that's him.
No, he's in it. He's fully in it.
Yeah.
Because it was a whole thing. It was like, wow, that's funny that Pedro Pascal played a whole part with a mask. Nah, he's in it.
He's in it.
He's fully
in it. Oh, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that wasn't him. Oh, now my partner's going to be like, that's not what I said. I don't remember.
That is what you said, Matt, and I'm holding you to it here on the podcast.
Anyway, Sam, thank you for joining us on Leguizamarama. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Me?
Yeah.
None.
It's like the ABC show that we're putting out in a year.
So tune back in maybe...
Yeah, like 12 months from now.
Maybe April?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're supposed
this
to say.
This will be coming out in about a month.
Yeah.
All I would say is if you could jump on Ivy now and make an account,
yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Nish, thank you.
All we're saying is maybe... create an iView account. That's all we're saying.
Pick a bird.
Mish, thank you for joining me and Sam on Sci-Fi Boys, talking sci-fi.
It was really nice. And I really liked it. And now I'm going to go and read some alien porn. Wait. No, we have to tell Tom what to put at the end of it.
Oh, it would have been funny to end on alien porn.
What's Tom going to put on the end of it? Sam, you just pick something. What's something
you
like
you,
to stick
you
to lately?
Pick something?
What's something sci-fi-y?
What do you mean?
Just what do you? What
I don't understand what you're saying.
So Tom usually played out the song. We're not good with guests.
I haven't listened to this podcast.
No one has.
No one has.
And then sometimes people send a message.
No one has except about 24 engineers.
Like Rosie's...
Pod. Let's make this really clear. Nobody listens to this podcast, but then randomly, we mentioned engineers, and Zach said, "Oh, we were talking about how neither of us know what an engineer is. Don't start on it. We don't." And then Zach's like, "I think it's a made-up word." And it's like, "Hey, if we happen to have any engineers listening, could you just DM us and let us know what you do?" And Zach's like, "We don't have any engineers listening." We got about 24 DMs from engineers, like, "Hey, I'm an engineer and I listen," and I reckon that's the only people that listen to this podcast, and they're engineers.
So because most people are an engineer.
Yeah.
A lot of people are.
If you're not an engineer, DM and go, "Hey, I'm not an engineer."
Yeah. If you're not an engineer, let me know what it is that you do for a living.
What is it that you do? And how you would reclassify it as engineer if you just decided
to. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah.
I think every job could be engineer with a bit of tweaking of its description.
We basically get Tom to put something on the end of this. It's usually a song, but you can just choose anything. It's often something we've talked about.
Tom, just tell me how your day was.
Yeah,
just talking to the mic.
And Tom, you can just do it on your phone. It doesn't have to be good sound or anything. Just tell us how your day was.
Yeah,
mate.
Just we want one sentence. That's all.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
And thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Sam. Yeah, look. I'm having an all right Monday morning here, just listening to the Mission Zach Leguizamarama and doing a little bit of editing and fixing up a little bit of compression and EQ and a few things like that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.